Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Well, I can't think of a better person to celebrate Pride Month with the one and only Dr. Omar Farias from Hill's Pet Nutrition. How are you, my friend?
I am doing great. I love that introduction. I'm going to just take you with me everywhere I go and get that introduction.
Yeah, you need that intro everywhere you go. I'm so glad. We want to give a big thank you to our sponsor from Hills for supporting this episode. Thank you, Hills. To learn more and check them out, you can visit hillsvet.com. And a little bit of information if you don't know about our friend Dr. Omar. Dr. Farias, his pronouns are he, him, and his, was born and raised in Puerto Rico. He received his VMD from the University of Pennsylvania. For 11 years, he worked in small animal practice, first as an associate and later as a practice owner. While in practice, he dedicated part of his time helping several local animal welfare organizations. In 2011, he joined Hill's Pet Nutrition as a professional consulting veterinarian and moved his family to New York City. In his progression at Hill's, Dr. Farias has held positions of increasing responsibility and currently serves as a senior manager in scientific and academic affairs for Hill's Pet Nutrition. Dr. Farias serves as board member for Pride Veterinary Medical Community as president-elect and as board member for the Mark Morris Institute. Dr. Omar Farias lives in Kansas City, Missouri, with his husband, Paul, his chihuahua, La Chispa, and his cat, Desi Lou. Wait, you got to tell the listeners where the name Desi Lou came from, by the way.
Well, I wonder how many of them know, but, you know, think of Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball. So they used to have a Desi Lou Productions, used to be their production company. And, you know, we were inspired by that name.
It's a great name. I love it. Such a good show, by the way, too. Gosh, I love Lucy. Such a good one. Well, you know, I always wanted to ask you this, and I really don't know the answer. So I'm going to be just as intrigued as our listeners are. When did you know you want to be a veterinarian?
Good question. I was the kid obsessed with science and nature and animals. Anything that was alive, I was just curious about it. Think back of Christmas gifts and birthday gifts. I got a microscope. I got a chemistry set. So I knew that I was going to be connected immediately with science. And I just, you know, as I started growing older, we had little chihuahuas, which I still have one today, and then, you know, got some hamsters and fish. So just my love and passion for animals and the love with science, I think it was always there. It wasn't really until I decided that I wanted to go start volunteering, at a hospital. And then I just saw the impact that the veterinarians had and that connection and helping that little animal that couldn't speak or explain what was going on. And then the gratitude that the clients had with the veterinarian that helped them, that really made it. So it was kind of a long process. I always spoke about being a veterinarian, but it wasn't really cemented fully until I was in undergrad when I started volunteering at a hospital and really wanted it.
But isn't it so interesting though? I mean, so many of us that are tuning in, we all have those similar experiences. It starts early is really what I'm saying. And I know it changes for others too, but for the most part, you definitely have some sort of an inspiration, because I chat with other people from around the country and they'll say, God, I wish I was a veterinarian, you know, because they always had that love. You know, do you know the average age someone wants to become a veterinarian? Do you know what age it is?
When they decide?
When they decide, yeah.
I would say it's before 12 years.
Yeah, very good. It's 10. Yeah. And that's average. So I just always find that so fascinating that, you know, we as veterinarians really need to get to those schools and inspire them early on. So I do want to ask you too. So we know the average age someone decides they want to be a veterinarian is at the age of 10. Did you know when you were young that you were gay?
Well, I knew I was attracted to men. I knew I was attracted to boys. I thought girls were pretty, but, you know, in a very different way.
Right.
I grew up, you know, like you mentioned before, I grew up in Puerto Rico, and I went to an all-boys Catholic high school. What I was taught, it was that was a sin, you know, in a sense. But I knew early on, you know, I knew when I, in you know, through my puberty years, I was strongly attracted to the boys, you know, that I saw versus, you know, the girls I thought they were pretty. But, you know, it was a different, different attraction.
Right. And you know, it's a different time, which we know of, which is, I think, for the better for the LGBTQ plus community. But what were some of the challenges with your, maybe your coming out or, you know, those, did you feel relieved too when that happened? What was that like?
Yeah, so my coming out story was long, and I apologize on this one. I may ramble, but there's different spots in life when you start sharing that information with others. First of all, you need to get to a spot in which you feel that you are safe enough and also strong enough to take on what may be coming. So I adore my parents and we have a great relationship today, but my coming out to them and the struggles with them was a long process. You know, so it took us like about a decade to be in a really, really good spot. And today it's great. They call my husband son and they're loving and we have vacation together. And I honestly could not have better parents. But, you know, initially when I came out to them, my mom went to a psychiatrist. They took me to, you know, that same psychiatrist, the psychiatrist told me I wasn't gay, you know, which put us in a much like harder situation because they had a medical professional saying that I wasn't gay, it was a phase, but I knew I was, and there was not a question. You know, I didn't need a professional to validate what I knew inside of me that was very true. There were a lot of, you know, a lot of hard moments between my parents and I. And then I went to vet school in that part of the process. And initially I came to vet school, I didn't share it with others. It took me a little bit through vet school. I came out really in vet school and then ultimately had some, I had to give my parents an ultimatum to kind of make the choice whether they're going to be part of my life or not. The great thing that one thing it taught me was that don't close doors on people that you love. You don't always understand what they're saying. When you say to your parents that you're gay, it may mean something different to them, and it may, you know, they may not fully understand. I didn't close the door on them, and I'm glad I didn't. Even though it wasn't rose-colored moments, I'll be honest. But they've evolved in that journey with me, and that's where we are today.
Well, no, thank you for sharing that. I mean, everyone has their story, I would say, too. Was it a moment of relief, though, afterwards, because you're being your true, authentic self when you came out?
Yeah, 100%. You know, the relief came, you know, later. But yeah, you know, we have one life to live. I want to be happy. I want to be myself, right. You know, love the person that I love. Yeah, so certainly relief. And, you know, the moment that coming out and all those tears and all those like sad moments in life had led to a really happy moment in my life right now. So I'm more than relieved. You know, I'm grateful for what I have.
Yeah, it is. It's so nice to hear that, you know, your family's so supportive of you now. And, you know, with veterinary medicine, I know we have some work ahead of us, but we still have done quite a bit. And how important is inclusion in our profession?
Oh, inclusion is really, really important. And, you know, and it, seeing diversity and LGBTQ diversity and other diversity in all parts of the profession is really important. We, if you think about, you know, us as a country and a society, there's, you know, we're quite a diverse society. And the more individuals are included within, you know, the different layers of like leadership and opportunities, the better represented that we are. And ultimately, right, I think that's going to lead us to be in a better spot, because to have diverse and dissenting voices, it's actually a good thing as part of the process.
Yeah. It really is. I love that. And I know you work for Hills. And how is Hills providing a diverse and inclusive workplace?
You know, Hills as a company, I'll say, I'm very happy to say that we not only speak about diversity, equity, and inclusion, but we actually do a lot of work in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space. And I'll mention a couple of things. We have employee resource groups, like many companies do. We have one specifically for the, you know, for the Pride group, and then we have different ones. But the company really supports them and really puts them at the center of a lot of activities that we do. As you mentioned before, I'm a board member with Pride VMC. You know, Hills was one of the companies that ended up signing the Agenda Identity Bill of Rights, which is a document that outlines the rights that the trans, gender diverse, gender nonconforming individuals should have in their workplace. So, you know, we're signatures of that. We also support a lot of organizations that work on diversity. We're part of, you know, we support the, you know, Pride VNC, we support Blend Vet, we support Possibilities Vet Med, the Diversified Vet Med Coalition. So just put a lot of resources and money behind, you know, the DEI work that the profession very much needs.
Yeah, I love it. And you're going to be the president of Pride VMC.
Right? I'm president-elect right now, not until 2024.
So, until you're going to be, though.
Yeah, 100%. We have an amazing president. So shout out to Abby McElroy.
Abby!
Which is our current president now.
So what are your plans?
Oh, it's a secret. I can't tell you, right?
The suspense is killing. But it is, to our listeners, tell the listeners so they know, too, that there is a student Pride VMC, and then there's a Pride VMC, yeah, right?
We have Pride VMC, which is a regular org, and the student Pride VMC is our, you know, student arm, right, which is in many, many colleges in the U.S. That, you know, we collaborate together and support each other. Certainly, you can visit PrideVMC.org if you're interested in learning more. We actually have stethoscope clips that we send with sell with pronouns to actually support the student organization and everything. So, yeah.
I love that. It's great. And how are you going to be celebrating Pride this month?
Many, many things. So, first of all, Pride VMC as an org is going to be at San Francisco Pride. So, if you're interested in joining, please reach out. We're actually at Hills. We have a speaker coming in to talk about actually the intersectionality of being LGBT, being a trans individual, having a person with disabilities as well. And then my husband and I have to figure out actually something fun to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you guys doing?
With the doggies. So we go to Disney during Pride Month. And I don't know if you know this, but the first Saturday in June is in Disney. And it's a big Pride Day for everybody. So they have, I mean, tens of thousands of LGBTQ plus members that are there. So we wear our red shirts and we show support. And we've been doing it for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's one of our favorite things to do. So we love that. It's our second home.
Oh, we know.
As you know, right? So absolutely love it. Okay, so speaking of locations, I'm curious to know, there are some very good LGBTQ plus friendly locations around the country. Do you have any, like a favorite place that you like to go?
You know, love Provincetown, Massachusetts, spent many summers there. Years ago, love Palm Springs, like New Hope, Rehoboth, yeah. Fire Island. You know, they're like fun places to go.
There are. I do love New Hope, Pennsylvania, by the way. It is beautiful over there.
We're not that far.
I know. It's not that far from our headquarters here in New Jersey. And got to give a shout out to Asbury Park, New Jersey, by the way. And I'll go on record saying this. I think that all LGBTQ plus communities that you just mentioned are super pet friendly. Right?
Yeah.
Like you can enjoy Pride with your fur babies. I don't think it gets any better than that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you know, everywhere you go. But, you know, think about, like, pets are such a big part, yes, of the LGBTQ community. Like, I could not see my life. I can't see my life without my husband, but I can surely not see my life without my babies.
Yeah, I do want to mention that. I do think the human-animal bond is so, so strong. But it's a very deep bond, I feel, that the LGBTQ plus community has with their pets. Yeah. It's very powerful. And when we talked about it on our previous show that we did, and the listeners, you got to stay tuned for it, when we did a panel discussion, we talk about how, you know, that deep purpose that we have with our animals, how they get us through those tough times. Maybe we've had some emotional trauma, you know, growing up, and there's that like great connection that our pets just get us.
Yeah, I would say, you know, going back a little bit to one of your questions, I remember when I was struggling with my coming out and kind of, you know, my gender, you know, my sexuality and everything, I would, you know, my little Chihuahua, it's, you know, I used to have Chihuahuas also growing up. Yeah. I, you know, that was where I used to go have my moments and find that comfort and that love back.
I know this is about Dr. Farias, but I do want to share. That's exactly what I had too. I had beagles growing up, and Archie was my boy, and I struggled, I cried, you know, but he was there for me. And I do feel like there's that connection that just really the LGBTQ plus community gets. And I think representation is so important because we get our clients a little bit more, you know, understanding them. So that's awesome. Okay, before we go, many listeners know that I'm obsessed with Mariah Chrisman. Wait, oh, I'm sorry. She did not take the name. She should have taken my name, but she took her maiden name. So Mariah Carey. Who's your Mariah Carey?
You know, that's going to be easy. Shakira.
Ah, it's a good one.
Yeah, you know, but I knew about her before she was famous.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I remember like being in vet school and like, you know, having my like, you know, my cassette player. Yeah. And studying, you know, in one of the labs, and I would like used to play like some Shakira songs. And my friends in, you know, at Penn, and they didn't know who Shakira was. All those songs were in Spanish back then, and I remember people like, "Who's that?" And I'm like, "Shakira." Right. So, I've known about her before the rest of you.
I know, and again, I do think the music is a big connection to our community as well. I think we've been, you know, going through school or whatever it is, that, you know, hard times, and Mariah did that to me. She definitely got me through those moments and everything. So I think it's wonderful. Well, Dr. Fotios, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for all you do in our community, by the way, and in our profession.
Thank you. Thank you for all you guys are doing. Thank you for putting this episode on, and thank you for having me as a guest.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And to our listeners, a big shout out to our friends at Hills. Again, you can visit them at hillsvet.com to learn more about all their great portfolio that they have there. Don't forget to rate today's episode. Always helps us out significantly. And you know, enjoy Pride Month, everyone. Thank you for being a great ally and for being a loyal listener to us. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.